Okay, first off, today is January 1st. It's the first day of the year. It's the first day of the week. It's the first any way you look at it.
Yeah.
First time I seen y'all this year. First time y'all saw me this year. Anybody made any New Year's resolutions?
Nope.
So y'all just going to keep on doing the same thing you were doing last year?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, there you go.
Well, here's the motto. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's all for thee in 23.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Y'all write that down?
That sounds good. Not about me. All about thee.
It's not about me. It's all for thee in 23.
In 23.
And
Miss
Betty inspired me with that.
Okay,
all right.
You've heard the
Chris. No.
Okay. Well, being that this was the beginning of the year, I was thinking of what we could talk about today. And a certain scripture came to mind. Looking in your Bibles in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5.
Right there.
Right, right there?
I mean, thank God I did. I just grabbed a book.
Opened it up and it came right to it.
Revelation 21:5.
Okay. How about reading that for us then?
He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new.
Okay.
Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Okay. Behold, I make all things new. That just came to my mind, being that it was a new year, first day of the week. We started, a lot of people will be making New Year's resolutions in hopes of trying to better themselves and try to stick to it to be the main thing. And I thought about this and I looked it up. And I said, okay, what is the significance of what Jesus is saying? Behold, I make all things new. Some of the things that I found of his significance kind of coincides with the way in which we live. First off, starting in the beginning when creation was made, God took 6 days, made creation. Seventh day, he rested. And then man came on the scene, and it took but one day for him to bring sin into the world. God said it was good, all that he made, all that he did. But after sin was brought into the world, to the earth, it wasn't good no more. We had problems. Even nature was cursed. Because of the sin that man did. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we'll see when God dealt out the punishment that he also cursed nature. Somebody got that? Genesis 3, verses 17 and 18.
Can we read?
You can read.
Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field.
Okay. So that shows us that not only is all man cursed, so is nature. The ground and what man would have to go through in order to make a living for itself. Things was going to be really hard. It kind of makes you believe that in the beginning, it could have been a possibility that man would have lived forever. Could have been. We don't have anything to say that to show us otherwise, but we do know, as God said from the beginning, that it, the day that you eat from that tree, you will die. And from that time on, death was in place. And nature also suffered from that. But we know that at that time also that God set into motion a plan to revive man back to himself. Revive is not the right word. To bring man back to himself. He set that in set that plan in motion at the same time that he dealt out the punishment. Now, when God judges all sin, after he judges that, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But until that time comes, we have to deal with all of the toil, the suffering, the pain, death. And that's why we have so much strife and tribulation in the world today, because that's where it comes from. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. But again, there's also joy,
mm-hmm.
happiness, wonder, amazement, grace, love, tenderness, kindness. So all that is here as well, is that Lord willing, all of us seek to be in that realm more so than the other.
That's true. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was basically just trying to paint the picture of why we have so much problem. But yes, we do have that. We have that in Christ. And we know that. That's our job to spread the word so that others can know that also and find that joy and peace and comfort. But when, after God judges all of the sin for eternity, the new heaven and the new earth won't have nothing but the joy and the happiness that, which he was speaking of. So death in itself is what we look forward to as Christians. That is our hope and what is to come. So in that aspect, we can see the significance of what he says by, behold, I make all things new. Also, in Revelation, the book of Revelation in chapter 21, John recounts seeing the new heaven and the new earth. And he sees and he writes down what he sees. And he sees the that city, which I'm speaking of, the new heaven and the new earth. And he sees where there's no more death, no more mourning, no more crying and pain. And also, creation, as much as we look forward to the day, as you always say, bruh, one day closer, we're always one day closer. As we live, we get one day closer. We look forward to that time when we will see the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. We're not the only one. So does, as I said before, so does nature. Because at that time, nature won't be cursed anymore. The curse will be lifted. And you would think, well, how is that important? Well, when God made that garden, it was the most beautiful garden that it was. Everything green, everything flourished, plenty of trees, for fruit, shade. Adam and Eve were the only two there at the time, but I'm sure that, you know, it could have been in God's plan. At least this is my thought now, that if they had children while it was in the garden, they would have been playing and swinging in the trees and climbing trees, which we do now on this earth. But that garden was so beautiful. But we don't have anything compared to that now. And a question may arise as to, well, why is that so important about nature, looking forward to it? Because then nature will be able to flourish again the way God intended it to. we look at different areas, as you say, bro, we still have beauty and stuff here, but it's still nothing compared to what it would be on the level when we get to the new heaven and the new earth. Well, just think about, as we sang the song, America the Beautiful, the Purple Mountains, we like to go to the, we like to go up into the mountains in the fall of the year to see all of the beautiful colors of the trees when they are transgressing. Even if you don't go to the mountain, you can still see them in the area in which you live, different trees with the different colors and stuff. All that is beauty. Even to the point of when we have winter and we see fresh fallen snow with no tracks, no nothing, that's a beauty to behold. Not necessarily want to get out there in it sometimes, but to sit back and look at it, it's a picture that is just breathtaking. You know, all this beauty that we still have here, but imagine how much more beauty that there will be in the new heaven and the new earth. Again, we can see which John says that because he saw the new heaven and the new earth, he also saw Jesus seated on the throne and declaring that behold, I make all things new. And this is the new heaven and the new earth in which we long for. When we trust in God, we trust in God for our salvation, to be reconciled. That's the word I'm trying to get. We hope to be reconciled. We look forward to being reconciled with God in the new heaven and the new earth. But when we make the decision that we want to be with God and we want to change our life, we invite the Holy Spirit to come into us. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, you should be able to see a change in the individual. As the scripture says, we put off the old and behold the new. I mean, I was quoting the scripture word for word, but I'm sure you understand what I mean, and I'm paraphrasing. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, our life changes. And if a person has the Holy Spirit in them, there's no doubt you will see a change in their life. Whatever life they lived before, you will see a difference. Now, some people are rowdy people. Rowdy mean to whatever your imagination may be, spewing out curse words, always ready to fight, never at rest, never have no peace. That's one interpretation. We also have a lot of people that is always in turmoil. They never have a good disposition. You may speak to them and say good morning or good evening, and they come back with what's good about it. They never have no compliments to give anyone. They basically always to themselves. They don't socialize very well. That's another aspect of a rowdy person. People of that nature are troubled because the Holy Spirit is not in them, and the devil has control of them. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are supposed to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. So it doesn't mean that you're going to be standing on a corner on a soapbox preaching about God. God is coming tomorrow. God is coming today. God is coming. You need to make your change your life and do thus and so. As we read about what John did, we do have some people that do that, and the whole world looks at them like they're crazy. We even Christians at times look at people. You see somebody standing up and start talking about God, and you think to yourself, this is not the place. That's not the way, you know, but That's the way that they are spreading the word. Who are we to say? We should be rejoicing that they are on our side, so to speak. But I don't know if you have ever experienced it, but I've been in Walmart. I've seen this person, this a lady, in Colonial Heights and in Petersburg. And anybody she meets, she'll tell them, God loves you. God loves you. And people look at her like, what's wrong with her? You know, but she is spreading the word. How do we go about spreading the word? We tend to want to make everything nice and settled and meet people on their terms and don't want to get them upset, don't want to get angry. But how do we do that? You know, but still, it should be a way in which we spread the word of God because we are Christians and it should be seen in the way in which we carry ourselves. Yes?
We are left to our imaginations on how we can do it. We're not limited. But one way, I like to share with brethren, I come up to them and say, Happy Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's to remind them whose day it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should rejoice and be glad in it. And when I first started saying this among the brethren, it was not widely received in a positive way. They were just like, look at me with a blank stare. What'd you say? Happy Lord's Day. And then I get the people who reply, it's not my birthday. So, again, it's all, I guess, part of it. How do you see your spirit within yourself? Is your vessel, meaning your body,
mm-hmm.
is your body filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it, or do you quench the Holy Spirit? You know, it's all up to us. It's again, do you see the cup half full, half empty? What is the attitude you're going to take? And oh, by the way, that is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is your choice. You are responsible for your own actions, for your own attitude,
mm-hmm.
for your own well-being. There's a lot of things, yes, we are responsible for. And so part of that is spreading the joy.
Yeah.
Happy Lord's Day. And again, to remind the brethren, we are all, whether you want to accept it or not, we are all one day closer to being with our Lord. And we're looking forward with great anticipation for that day.
Very good. Okay, yes.
And a symbol when you get off the phone or have a transaction with someone, just to have a blessed day. That simple end of the conversation, just that simple instead of goodbye or having a blessed day ending, that changes someone's day.
That's good. Yes. That is how the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, we show it. And the main thing is that we do show it. I mean, saying it is one thing, but showing it is so much more. Because we actually live it that way then. I have been around, I'm sure you all have too, been around people. In a sense, I like to think of them as being like the Pharisees. They'll tell you, oh, I go to so-and-so church, and I'm a Christian, and I've been in the church so many years, and they brag about it, so to speak, but they make it known in their conversation, and they're kind of lifting themselves up to let you know where they stand. But then you see them get educated with somebody else, and some of the words that come out of their mouth and their actions, they're not curse words, their actions, the way they do things. He said, they just said they was a Christian, and man, look at them. They do spiteful things. They just act evil, you know. And you look at them and you say, That's not the way that you're supposed to be. I like to tell myself, that's the Lord reveals that to me so I can know where I don't want to be like that. Make sure I don't carry myself that way. So that's a good example. But still, if we exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, people will be able to see that in us anywhere we go. I like it when I see someone that I haven't seen in years and they tell me, man, I ain't seen you in a long time. You still the same. I like that. I take that as a good compliment. So that means that you don't see me one way, I'm this way, and you see me another time, I'm like this. I'm the same person. You know, and you have to be if you're in Christ. Christ is supposed to be exhibited through you. Any other comments?
Like you were mentioning earlier, we have in Scripture where it says to exhort one another, encourage one another, be hopeful.
I'll say it again. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Encourage one another.
Yeah. Right, yes, yes, yes. Uplifting each other as we see the day approach. And even if you have to, sometimes you have to correct someone, but sometimes it's just a matter of getting them to see or realize or remember something. Oh, this is an oath that you took when you said you wanted to be like Christ, you know, and you help them to realize that that's not exactly the way in which you should be carrying yourself. And if they're wise, they'll take heed. If not, they won't. But at least you have done it in a loving manner. I remember when a time ago, a good while ago, that I hadn't long took on Christ and had been baptized and, you know, had just got into the church, and I was at a birthday party, and this birthday party was at a club, and so, you know, I wasn't drinking, other people were, so, you know, I was, felt like I was all right, I was enjoying myself, I wasn't being loud or boastful or anything. The music played, and I got up on the floor, and I was dancing. You know, like the people were dancing. And my old self came out, you know. The Bible says you're supposed to put away the old and the new comes out. Oh, I was getting down, like, you know, like I used to do. And it so happened, it was a sister that was there at the party also. And she came to me and she pulled me off to the side and she said, "Brother, you enjoying yourself?" I said, "Yeah, I'm having a good time." She said, "I can tell." She said, "I think maybe you're enjoying yourself a little too much." I said, "What you mean?" She said, "Your dancing and your moves is a little provocative." I said, "Oh, well, I thought I was just having a good time." She said, "Well, maybe you ought to kind of check yourself a little bit." I said, "Okay, thank you." I appreciated the fact that she pulled me to the side and told me, you know, instead of just coming up, "I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. You up here doing this, that, and other, you know." Some people do. And I thought about what she said. And okay, there was other ways I could have danced without doing all things I was doing. So from that point on, I learned there's nothing wrong with going to a social function, whether it be a birthday party, or could be my wife and I have been to a club, a fraternity organization that throw a party, and we'll go there. We'll carry a little apple cider, the sparkling cider, it's non-alcoholic. We'll sit there. We'll get up on the floor and we'll dance. But I danced, and she danced very modestly, you know. I'm not out there trying to act like I'm on Soul Train or something. You know? But that taught me, you know. And that, in a sense, is, I think it was a very good lesson, and it stuck with me. And so I learned, one, but how to change my way. Also learned, two, this is how you should approach somebody else if I were to see somebody else doing that that's supposed to be. Yes, bro.
That would be absolutely right. I think she did the right thing in coming to you in the way she did. I think you learned you were mature enough to accept what she said in a good way.
Yes.
So sometimes we need her help, brother.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But nothing wrong with being kind. If somebody has been a Christian for a long time, I expect them to know better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good she gave you the way she did.
I agree.
Some people are very loud.
Yes. And that's not the way. That's not the way. But that's also how the Bible tells us, you know, that's how you're supposed to approach a brother or a sister.
Yeah.
You know, is that way. And if they don't listen, you get another brother or sister to go with you and try to get it to them. You have a comment?
And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14, where it starts the thought. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. And that means Soul Train and all the other
things. Yep.
Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil or evil to anyone. Anyone. And I mean, it's plain.
Yes. Anyone. That's exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. Yes.
But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. You see the attitude that's being permeated here?
Oh, yeah.
Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you. That's the path laid out. Do not quench the Spirit. And so we say thank you to the Lord for those words.
Yes. Very good.
What were you reading,
sir? 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 19.
Also, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it sums up also how we, the reason why we're supposed to live a Christian life once we say that we have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Beforehand, we are bound by sin, and so we live a sinful life. But sin, people be in the house, especially in the summertime, and see you coming, and they will verbally abuse you before you even get to the door. Some people may have dogs in the house. They may even go to the extreme of sticking a dog on you. That's just pure out and out of the devil, the way I see it. Some people will abuse you, especially in a crowd of people, because they know that you're trying to live a Christian life. They want to get you upset. They want to get you to the point where you act like they act, so they can say, oh, I thought you was a Christian. The main thing is, we never know who is watching us. And we want the whole world to watch us, because we want the whole world to know that, yes, We live for Christ, not just in this building, not just in my house, not just in my yard, not just at the grocery store, but anywhere and everywhere I go, I've got Christ in me. And no matter what the devil throws at me, I'm going to try my best to live a righteous life. And the devil knows that. And the devil is, we don't see him, but he's sneaking around just like in that movie with the Passion when Christ was getting whipped. He was walking around looking, and Christ looked up at him, and he still was looking, but Christ never said anything. But it's hard to do when someone is verbally abusing you or treating you wrong to try to be cool. But you have to say, Lord, help me. You have to pray, Lord, give me strength. You have to do whatever it takes to withstand, because we know that we have the Lord on our side. We can't see him as y'all are looking at me right now, but we know the Lord is there with us, and we know that he suffered for us, so we suffer for him in that aspect. So we have to keep in mind that this is what we took on as we honor Christ and we live our lives so that Christ can be seen through us. When you realize that, sometimes that helps you withstand the pressure a little bit better. When you pray and ask for help by the Lord, he gives you the strength that you need to make it through. But when we lose it and we forget, or we say, well, he just got under my skin, or she just pissed me off so bad, or I just couldn't take it no more, then the devil wins. We'd be just like Peter. We meant well, but we wasn't strong enough. Now we have to repent and ask the Lord to please forgive us and give us more strength so that we can continue on in doing his will. Those are a few things that help us get over the rough spots, and we have to bear in mind and keep that in mind, especially when the going gets rough, as we like to say, when the rubber meets the road. Behold, I make all things new. This is the new us. This is what we represent. This is what we anticipate to get into the new heaven and the new earth when we leave this place, because we know that we did not come here to stay here forever. There's another place prepared for us. The only way we're going to get there is by going through what we go through each and every day. Decay, destruction, death, and evil are all parts of our lives on this earth. And even, as I say, even nature groans to be delivered from the curse. That's found in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 22. Well, when Jesus said, behold, I make all things new, he opposed the hope that one day we would be free from the consequences and effects of sin, and we'll live with him in a new heaven and a new earth. This truth makes us live with eager expectations and seek to know him more and become more like him as we live each day. And I'd like to leave you one other thought before I end this good talk. I was talking with a fellow one day, and he was saying he couldn't understand why the world has gotten to the situation that it's in. Everything that used to be right seems to be wrong now. Seeing that the whole world took a flip-flop. We don't have no morals, and it's just so much evil and stuff in the world. And I told him that, and he also talked about how men going with men, women going with women and all that, you know, how everything seems to be okay. I told him he has to remember that God said And I couldn't remember the scripture at that time. I still can't remember the scripture now, but it is in this book. God said that, and he gave a list of all the people that are not going to come into heaven. Whether they be thieves, murderers, gamblers, whoremongers, all of that, it's a list. Mm-hmm. He said that they will not come into heaven. Now, on this earth, you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Because he gives us free will. You know, he tells you in this book what is right, what is wrong. He tells you how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to act. People that are out in the street in the world that don't know, nowadays, there are a lot of people that don't know about Christ. That's our job, to spread the word. But they see us. They know that we are different. They may not know why, because they never ventured to find out. But they see us, so they know that they don't have to be the way that they are. If they decide, they don't have no part of us. They don't want to be around us. You try to talk to them about Christ or church or anything wholesome, oh, I don't want to hear that. That's their choice. You can do anything you want to do on this earth. But God said, you are not coming into heaven with that. So they have the freedom. That's why we have everything going on in the world today. We can't stop it, because it's a free will. People do what they want to do, and the devil has control over a lot of people. All we can do is spread the word and not let it overtake us. We have to be the example. You know how the word says about the light, that you don't put it under a bushel? We are that light. We have to set the example. So when we see stuff, you know, we see two men walking in the mall, holding hands, kissing two women or whatever. That's their prerogative. That's what they want to do.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not only in the mall, but on the television.
Oh, yes. Yes. More so.
Medications for HIV.
More so.
Men and things like this. Mm-hmm. Women. These kind of actions. And God is not pleased with that.
No.
And we're going to be held responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Becoming predominant on TV.
Hmm.
Becoming predominant on TV.
Yes. Yes, yes it is. But see, someone that don't know think it's all right because you see it all the time. As I used to say when I was a kid, and a lot of kids said they were, everybody's doing it. You know. And my mom used to tell me, I'm not responsible for everybody, I'm responsible for you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that. You know. And this is what God says. Mm-hmm. They have the free choice, you have the free choice. We know better. So when we see this, we have to govern ourselves accordingly. Mm-hmm. And after telling him that, he said, you know, I never thought about it like that. But that's the thing. A lot of people don't think about it like that. That's where we come in at. That's our job. Help them to think about it like that. Maybe they'll change their way of life. And that's my lesson for this morning. I hope you got something out of it. Thank you all for your participation.
Thank you.
All right.